We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject for discussion, Father and Home. What is home without a father? What is a father without a home? Father and home have a God-ordained relationship. The home is the beginning of authority, culture, knowledge, and religion. The home is the basis of all society. Fathers are God-honored and God-ordained. In Genesis 2:23-24, Adam declared, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Woman is neither inferior nor superior to man, but qualified for him, a counterpart of himself. God intended that the home should be glued together, man and wife. As the Bible said, "Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This being glued together includes body and soul. One flesh literally means they two, or both of them, are two in one. What is for one is for both. Through the union of man and woman by marriage, thus creating the home unit, the creative power of God continues by birth of children. The children being bone of bones and flesh of flesh of both the father and the mother, thus one flesh. From the beginning, this was God's purpose of the home. The first home in the beginning was perfect. Adam and Eve was created perfect in body, health, and intelligence. They were perfectly united for each other. God made companions. They were not married too young nor too old. Their home was in paradise. They did not have modern influences to hinder their home in the beginning as we have today. There were no language barriers, no cultural, racial, or religious barriers. There were no in-laws, credit accounts, or mortgage loans. Ultimately, however, they lost that perfectly happy home. This failure was brought about by disobedience. Adam followed his wife in disobedience to God. Eve failed her husband and hindered him in his work instead of helping and encouraging him to do the right thing. She had the wrong influence on him. To a great extent, woman has a powerful influence on man today. She may influence him to be a king on a throne or cause his kingdom to break in pieces. The first home calamity was in the first home. Their happy home was broken up. They were driven from their home of fabulous beauty, comfort, and happiness. There were children to bless it and to be blessed. But somewhere, sometime, there were failures in that home. Who knows? Probably they argued, fought, blamed each other, struggled, worked hard, faced frustrations and disappointments. Once the father and mother were the chief executives, king and queen of their home. But now, even nature itself has become their enemy. God said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall be brought forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the fields. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Genesis 3:17-19. As a result of this broken home in the very beginning, we have the record of the world's first delinquent, a murderer. One brother murders another brother. Since then, all kinds of sins have been committed to disgrace and mar the memory of a happy and united home. One important factor involved in the disintegration of the home is the disregard for authority in the home. In the first home, Adam, the father, failed as the head of the family. He allowed his wife to make the first important single decision in history. God told Adam that trouble came when, "Because thou hast hearkened unto thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which was forbidden." God did not exonerate Eve and place all the blame on Adam, but he held him responsible. The home should be the child's greatest training school. The wise man of God said, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22, verse 6. A child who had nothing to do with his coming into the world is entitled to and deserves a home in the true sense of the word. A home that is worthy of children should be a place where affection and all family interests are centered. It should be the haven of domestic life and the sanctuary of mutual ties and the bond of fellowship and love. Yes, it should be a training school for children loved by their parents, who teach and train them in the true meaningfulness of life in honor of God and respect of humanity. A home is more than a house. Many families have paid rent all their lives and never owned a house, but they have a beautiful home. On the other hand, many people own houses, but have a very poor excuse for home. A home is really not complete without a father, although there are many homes of honor and great influence in the community without a father. But we're talking about the home as God intended that it should be, with godly fathers and godly mothers who love and train their children to become the young man or young woman of whom they shall be justly proud. Because a man, as a father, is supposed to be the head of the family, doesn't mean that he has the right to abuse and shamefully treat his family with contempt. The child abuse problem today is unreal. Some fathers are not even worthy of the name father. Some are as mean as the devil himself. Some mothers are not worthy of the name mother. I could cite many shocking examples, but time does not permit just now. My friends, are you listening? When we face the reality of abuse that many children today are experiencing, even from their own parents, it is little wonder that we have an epidemic of runaway children. Did you know that some 600,000 children ran away from home last year, and it continues to rise? The runaway children has doubled during the past 10 years. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. At a crucial time when children really need the love, care, and protection of parents at home. Who needs a father? Every child needs a father. Who needs a mother? Every child needs a mother. Children are the most precious jewels you will ever own, except your own soul. Love them and care for them, and they will love and care for you when they have fathers and mothers who truly are home builders. Children are products of the home, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. My friends, when we talk about the teenage problems or the problems of youth today, just remember that in most cases, they are all homegrown. The memory of a good home, a Christian home, has saved many people from a devil's hell. I think of that great story in the Bible recorded in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son left home, took his journey into a far country, and there spent his substance in riotous living. Finally, he found himself in the hog pen, eating with the hogs. Look how far he had fallen. And then he remembered. Remembered what? Friends, he remembered home. He remembered his father and the riches of that home. He remembered that even the hired servants had bread enough and to spare, and yet he was perishing with hunger. Yes, he remembered home and the riches of that home. Suppose he had not had that kind of home to remember. Do you suppose that he would have gone back? Do you think that he would have returned home had his home been a broken home? A home without warmth and love and devotion of a father and a mother united in their efforts to build a home worthy of being remembered? Oh, my friends, I tell you, the remembrance of a godly Christian home with its ideals of Christian living is the very wealth of our nation and the salvation of the souls of men many times. Without Christian fathers and mothers, the Christian homes to remember, we are doomed. we are lost. What kind of home are you building to be remembered? It would be well and wise for all modern-day fathers to model themselves after some of the great fathers of the Bible. Enoch is one of those great men of the Bible. The Bible says he was 65 years of age when Methuselah was born. Moses records the statement in Genesis 5:22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Enoch was faithful as a father. Methuselah never had a day in his life without a father who walked with God. Gentlemen, are you listening? Can your children make a statement like that? Or would stern reality constrain them to say that they had never had a daddy that would walk with God? A man has to be deeply earnest about his role of responsibility as a fatherhood if he's going to listen to the wise counsel of Solomon when he said in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Real training, such as the wise man of God had in mind, cannot be done by flippant fathers of our day. Real training of youth does not come from unconcerned hearts. The critical and crucial times in which we live demand earnest, serious-minded fathers. Fathers with love, understanding. Fathers with authority and the knowledge of the use of that authority. Fathers, are you listening? Is this your attitude and action toward your great responsibility of fatherhood? A good father commands love and respect of his children, of his family. I would like to present to you a true story. Today there is a distinct need for stronger family ties, and this story illustrates what I'm talking about. The future of America, the future of our society, the future of the church depends largely upon our homes and our country. God give us more homes of honor, love, respectability, and responsibility. Yes, there are still millions of homes that bring honor to God and to man. What a heritage! What a beautiful and inspiring sight to see the ties of rich and bountiful home life that binds together hearts and lives as fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. The love, honor, and respect of a son for his father was manifested before the eyes of millions during the 1980 Winter Olympics. It was the great hockey game between the United States and Russia. When the final second had ended, the United States had defeated that great professional Russian team. The gold medal award of honor and worldwide distinction was now in possession of the proud and jubilant Americans. In their unbelievable victory, they had brought exalted honor to their country and to themselves. The jubilance, the joy, the excitement was almost beyond measure. The spectators were shouting, waving, crying, and leaping for joy. The players were jubilant, shouting for joy, embracing each other, congratulating each other, laughing, weeping. But there was an unforgettable, inspirational scene, witnessed by millions on TV, that captured the hearts of all who understood. All eyes were focused on a young man named Jim Craig, the goalie for the American team. His teammates covered him with hugs and every expression of joy and jubilance. But the young man, Craig, seemed oblivious to all the congratulatory expressions at that moment. He stood gazing into the grandstand, where thousands were standing and shouting and waving. He continued his eye search of a certain section. He actually began to count, with signal from his hand, seat by seat, row by row, searching, searching. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Do you know who Jim Craig was looking for? In the greatest moments of honor in his life, when the eyes of the world were looking upon him, his eyes were searching for his father. To share with his father the honor and the glory of that great moment in his life. While searching in vain, Jim Craig kept asking, "Where is my father? Where is my father?" His father had moved to another seat, and his son could not find him in the audience. It might interest you to know that Jim Craig doesn't think it too old-fashioned to show affection for his father. He told a sportscaster that he does shake hands with his father and kiss him after games. He said, "I know he's proud of me." That's found in Sports Illustrated of March 10, 1980. Jim Craig, together with his father, explained it all on ABC TV Network, February 26, 1980. His mother had died 3 years previously. And Jim said, "During the last few minutes of that game, I was thinking how great it would have been if Mom could have seen it." Although his mother was dead, she was very much alive in the heart of her son. And his father, Jim Craig said, "I felt if we could just make eye contact, all would be okay." Is there a heart so stony and a soul so resistible that would not be touched and tendered by such actions and expressions of family ties? What great relationship, love, honor, respect between father and son, mother and son. Oh, how badly the world today is crying for family and home.